Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Tone, one half of the best black movie review podcast in the world. In the world, Craig. This episode of the Blackbusters podcast is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Prime is more than just free shipping. Prime brings you closer to the things you care about today through shopping, streaming, and savings. For example, did you know that you can listen to your favorite podcasts, like ours, through Amazon Music? Yep. You can also watch your favorite movies, like the ones we review on Blackbusters, on Amazon Prime Video. Yep. But it doesn't stop there. You can use Prime to get more out of your interests. From purchasing behind-the-scenes books about your favorite movies to listening to soundtracks of your favorite films. Yep. Whatever you're into, or just getting into, Prime can help you get closer to it. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to sign up. From movies and music to passions and podcasts, it's on Prime.
Blackbusters.
What's cracking, family? What's happening? We are back with another banger, bro, and broettes, all that. Welcome to Blackbuster, the best movie review podcast in the world.
In the world, Craig.
In the world, Craig.
In the world, Craig.
Yes, indeed. I'm your boy, Big Ja.
Mm-hmm. It's your boy, 54th in tone.
Ooh, 54th in tone. That's the Badlands.
You know where that is.
You know where,
you know where that is.
You're on 54th in tone.
I grew up around 54th in tone. It's real niggas over there.
It's real niggas over there for real. Hey, I got to put the beanie on to represent for the land. For sure. That's crazy because my mom worked on 54th at Crenshaw, Project Peacemakers, right next to the post office.
You know what happens over there.
You already know what's over there,
54th
man.
54th and
Tone. Absolutely, man. Yeah. So yeah, I do know.
Liquor Mart.
Yeah, Liquor Mart right there. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Yeah. We are doing the great film that the late, great John Singleton wrote and directed, Baby Boy.
Baby Boy.
Baby Boy, man. Whew. Absolutely great. I loved it, starring Tyrese Gibson, baby girl Taraji P.
Henson.
Henson, yes, Taraji P. Henson. Mm-hmm. Omar Gooding's in that bad boy. Angel Conwell.
Shout out to
AJ Johnson plays moms, and of course
Shireen.
Shireen, yes, she will always be Shireen.
She's Shireen,
and of course, brother Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames,
Big Melvin, man, the cast.
We mentioned Snoop.
Oh, I'm sorry, Snoop Dogg, of course.
Snoop Dogg, Monique.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The Eastsiders. You know what I'm saying? They got Trey D in that bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who else? It might be a few that we ain't mentioned, but this movie is full of dope ass actors, and it's a dope story.
Yeah,
Baby Boy, man. Tyrese Gibson is the main character. He plays Jody. You know what I'm saying?
Jody.
And Baby Boy is one of them films. Like, of course, it's John Singleton. So you know, John Singleton does a lot of L.A. hood films. Mm-hmm. A good amount. Like, he's known for Boys in the Hood, Baby Boy, and a few other black films, black hood LA films, where the setting and the plot is LA.
Mm-hmm.
Baby Boy, he's Jody. Tyrese plays Jody. And Baby Boy is the perfect name for this movie because it's about this basically a young man growing up in LA. Like so many other hoods, even though being I'm from LA and I can very much so I can relate to this film. Mm-hmm. I can relate to Jody. I know Jody. I know Jody for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I know a few of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for sure. That I have them in my family.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and I know them. I went to school with these guys. Yeah. I ran the block with these guys. You know what I'm saying? With the Jodys and the Peanuts. You know what I mean? So he's the quintessential black kid, black young man from L.A. And let me tell you something about L.A. Like, you don't have to, L.A. is like the gangbang capital.
Mm-hmm.
It's very aggressive, the inner city of L.A. And you don't even have to be a Blood or a Crip or a Vato
mm-hmm.
to be an aggressive-ass dude from L.A. Just a product of your environment. You know what I'm saying? And Jody looks tough. Not as tough as he looks,
mm-hmm.
but he lives the life of a typical black dude. Not every black guy in LA is like this, but there's thousands and thousands and thousands of black men that can relate to this character.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
This movie does a lot for me. I have all of the emotions about this movie, mm-hmm. like all of them. There are times where I'm like, I don't really like this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also times where I'm like, this movie is low key, very sneaky good,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if you can push through some of the stuff that you're unfamiliar with to get through stuff that you are familiar with, right? Because even if you don't know a Jody, you understand the theme, right? Like of just young guys with nothing to really do. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
no real direction.
Their best skill is their ability to fuck. Right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, and so that's what they do. Like, they knock chicks up, they get kids, they borrow their car, and they waste time. Right? Like, you know, this is what their life is like. And so what this movie does is it puts a spotlight on that life, on the men that live that life, and the women that have to share that life with those men.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit comes across very authentic.
Yeah.
And very, very real.
Authentic, yeah.
And very cool. Then I look about this movie and how it fits in, like, the black multiverse. And it's like, yeah, Jody is maybe who Kane would have been if he grew up on the west side instead of the east side.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because right. they're both kind of, like, directionalists like that. Like, right. you know, they both have, you know, thugs in their family, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like bad experiences. But,
yes.
But Jody doesn't have to gangbang.
Right.
His city, his street is one of those manicured LA mm-hmm. streets, right? Where it's just like nobody gangbangs on this block. Maybe right. two blocks over they do. Maybe yes. there's an apartment building not far where they right. do. But as a result, Jody gets to live a life that allows him to be more hood than what he is.
Right.
Right? And right. And get away with it until he starts running into yeah. real thugs.
Right. And so and there's so many dudes like Jody.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jody looks like a dude that's from the hood,
he ain't
from
shit.
The set. But when it's all said and done, he's not a killer.
He's not a killer.
He's not a. I wouldn't call him a good guy.
He's a
product of his environment. In this film, we don't talk about his dad. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? All we know is his daddy was a gangster.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, daddies that are gangsters end up becoming dead men or in prison men. In this case, he probably was dead. He probably was not even around.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't there to raise his sons to be as tough as he is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or was. So he's raised by his mother in his grandmother's house.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically growing up. He grew up in the house that his mom grew up in.
He's a mama's boy.
He's a mama's boy. You know what I'm saying?
Selfish.
He's selfish as hell. Mm-hmm. Shiftless.
Yeah,
like he doesn't have a job,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't have any really personal skills.
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't go to college. Did he graduate from high school? Probably, but barely.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he's just entitled. He feels like his mom should take care of him.
He's a liar. Forever.
He's a liar.
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying?
He's just like, so the thing is that like, and he's gotten away with it for so long,
right?
You know, it comes to a point where you could tell, like, his mom has gotten tired of his shit.
Yeah.
And she's making a strong pivot. And by the time we get to the end of the movie, a lot of the women in his life have made a strong pivot as well. Everybody's just tired of
of
he's
Jody.
He's a baby. He's a boy still.
Yeah, of Jody.
So he's, let's say, how old do you think baby baby boy is, Jody? Jody's probably what, you think?
19? No, he's, he can buy liquor. Yeah. He can buy, so, so now, he's 21.
I think he's older than that.
You think he's older than that?
I feel, yeah, for yeah. sure.
Okay.
Because if you're 21, you're supposed to still be, or just now graduated from college. Mm-hmm. I think, in Jody, I think Jody is like 25. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? 25, 26. Like, he's mid-20s. Like, because even, like, his son is like, his oldest son, he got a daughter that's about not even two yet.
Yeah.
And he got a son that's like
4 or 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that, his best friend is Peanut, Omar mm-hmm. Gooding. These guys look around like mid-20s.
Yeah,
mid-20s. They're not 28, 29. They're not
They're
25, 26 yeah. at the most. So
if we really
old enough to have their own shit.
Yes.
And even the girls, even the women that they're dealing with are like probably 23, 24.
Yes, a little bit younger.
Yvette is probably a couple years, 1 or 2 years younger than Jody. Yeah, the same age.
Yeah.
They might have went to high school together, and he might have been the senior, and she might have been a sophomore.
Yep, yep.
That type of thing. Like, and Jody's he's the son, youngest of us, of the kids. He had an older brother that's dead.
Mm-hmm.
His older brother probably will be at this age 28, 29.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You framed it super perfect. Yeah.
So he's still, but he acts like he's 26, 25, going on 17, 18.
Yeah.
Like, he's still young and he's still immature. Like, little boys, all they want to do is play, eat candy, and mm-hmm. Play right. video games.
Right.
He's in a situation where he thinks his mom, you going to kick me out? I'm not kicking you out. You should want to leave.
Yeah.
You should want to.
It should be time for you to go.
Like, and the thing is, you don't have, he's not trying to, he don't even want to live with his girls. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, live with them because he's out still doing his thing.
Right.
And it's more comfortable at the crib because if he's living with his girl, he got to provide.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a provider.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
He's a consumer.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Even when he gets money, he immediately, you know, they have that bit where he talks about, like, you know, are you a buyer or a seller?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you know.
Right.
He immediately wants to get back to buying. Right?
Buying, like, some rims.
He bought some rims. He bought the little denim fit. You right. know what I mean? Like, you know, the matching fit. So, yeah, he's 100% a buyer. But there's a certain charm and charisma to him that if he could ever get his shit together, he could maybe be okay. Maybe turn the corner.
Just like Melvin said, you remind me of me, little nigga.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's 25. Melvin's about 45.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I love how bad the relationship is between Melvin and Jody mm-hmm. because it makes so much sense.
1,000%.
1,000%. Yeah. So Jody's immature-ish, you know, peacocking, you know, approach to Melvin, not knowing who the fuck Melvin is,
right,
and not really like understanding the jeopardy that you're in, right. literally just feet away,
right.
And Melvin's difficulty to communicate what he's trying to communicate to Jody, like, it's obvious that Melvin doesn't have the language either.
Nah,
he's trying to teach Jody something. He's trying to tell Jody something, but he doesn't have the language either. So, right. like, I love the fact that, like, they constantly miscommunicate throughout the movie.
And they're making so many mistakes.
Yeah.
So, Melvin is basically Jody 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Actually, a tougher version of Jody.
Right.
Like, you know, like.
He's the next generation. And Melvin's like, man, these kids these days, these little suck-ass niggas.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
He look at. Like, Jody's the weaker version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, even no one's perfect. These guys aren't good guys. These guys are just guys mm-hmm. trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Like, in the hood, whether it's South Central LA or Baltimore, Maryland,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of boys that grow up to be males, like adult males that are still trying to become men.
Right.
And they're making mistakes. Their mom don't know how. Their mom don't know how to be men. You know what I'm saying? Their mom don't even mm-hmm. know how to choose a good mm-hmm. man to have a child by.
Mm-hmm.
So his mom is literally the young mom. She's fly still, but she's older, but she's a young mom. She probably had both of them when she was like 17 and 20.
Young.
If that, you know what I'm saying?
Which is now it's time for her life.
Yes.
Right? Like, you know, like.
It makes total sense.
Makes total sense.
Now she's trying to look for a good man, but she's still looking for a hood nigga.
Yeah.
A gangster nigga.
Because she's a hood girl. That's all she knows.
A hood chick. But at least now the hood guy that she's going to be with is going to have made enough mistakes in his life that he's going to treat her right, possibly.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah. So, and Jody is still messing with girls who don't know how to pick a good man.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Yvette is basically his mom, except he's not a real gangster.
Right.
But she making the wrong. She mm-hmm. got Jody tattooed on her and stuff like that. Yeah. She's crazy.
The phrase that they use is dickmatized.
Dickmatized,
yeah. Right? Like, you know, and mm-hmm. Yvette is 100% dickmatized.
And Peanut.
Yeah.
And the other baby mama, too.
Everybody is. Like,
walking,
you know,
in the house, he's the boss of these girls, but he really ain't the boss of nothing.
He ain't the boss of nothing.
He walk in the house, pull the curtain back in the shower. Hey, man, get your ass out of here and make me something to eat.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
And they
do it. Okay.
They do it, right? Yeah, like, you know, man. Because, I mean, again, they never seen a real man neither.
Right.
What's interesting, and in all them houses, ain't no daddy.
Ain't no daddy.
Wasn't no daddy in Peanut's house.
Right.
Right? Like, clearly wasn't no daddy. We don't get to see from Taraji P. Henson, but I mean, she's got her shit most together because she got her own place.
Yeah.
But there ain't no daddy, Peanut, so there ain't no examples. Yeah, Peanut was at the house with her mama.
And Peanut probably about 19, 20.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. She's young.
Yeah. And so he has the audacity to walk in the house, eating up the food, and then, like, seeing this baby, taking mm-hmm. his girlfriend's car, one of his girlfriend's cars.
Yeah.
To go see his other girlfriend,
man.
And the other baby.
That's so
authentic, man, because I know those guys, bro. Yeah. I know those dudes.
Whipping their girl's car.
And they don't even know. They don't even know what they're doing is whack.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they do, but yeah. I think in this case, he just doing what he was seeing, what he's seen.
Yeah. Let me borrow your car.
Let me borrow your car. After he go get an abortion.
That's what's so good about Baby Boy.
It started off fire. I said, if this ain't the realest shit,
this is so fucking real. Let me borrow you. And he left. And that's what the movie starts off so fucking fire. You're right. Cause he picks her up from the clinic, takes her home. You could tell she's mad and disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she's not fucking with him and giving him the attention, he takes the keys and goes to his baby mama's house. That's what lets you know what type of guy you're dealing with here.
Right.
Which is so, like, funny.
That's so relatable. It's so
very
relatable.
Very fucking relatable.
And so you ask yourself, you made the statement earlier about how this movie, sometimes you're like, I don't like this movie. It's disturbing, it's dramatic, and it's a little too real.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, why are you showing? It's an insight. It's, like you say, it's shining a light on the inner city and how the people clarify.
I really don't like Jody.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't like, you know, like, there's certain characters that are so real, you kind of just fucking hate them mm-hmm. because they remind you of people.
Yeah.
Like Jody's the type of person that I fucking despise.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm not fucking with Jody.
Yeah,
and I know a couple of Jodys. Mm-hmm. Right, like, you know, so I just don't like living in Jody's world.
Right,
so by byproduct, like, this film is like makes me so like because like the way he acts, the way he treats his mom, the way he treats Yvette. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and Yvette is kind of like a buster herself.
Yeah, she
right. Like she's. I don't, like, I feel for her, but at the same time, like...
She's a victim.
She's an airhead. Like, yeah. You know, she's like, this is her choice. So it's almost kind of like Menace to Society. Sometimes these movies feel so familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the part of our community that, like, is too familiar in the parts that I don't really fuck with. Because, yeah, you see it all the fucking time. And especially you see all of these kids... You know what I mean? That are the byproduct of Jody's rolling around, like, you know, like doing their thing.
Right.
So it's just it becomes a real movie. Like, after you get past Jody's tantrums and the stuff, you get thrust into a world that's very fucking real.
It's
so
like
that's what I said. It's sneaky real like that.
It's like a narrative documentary.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it. A lot of these films, a lot of these John Singleton films are like. It's not a comedy, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. DJ Pooh, F. Gary Gray was doing like hood comedies, very similar, very same settings,
mm-hmm.
but they were comedies. This is not a comedy, it's a drama, and it's like a docudrama.
Did you feel like the acting was over the top? Or did you feel like it was real?
Acting was over the top with Snoop Dogg because he's not an actor.
Yeah.
Actor was over the top a little bit with Omar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
O was almost like too good an actor for this role.
Right.
Right? So like, yeah. You know, so he's got to dial it up a little bit to make it authentic. But he's yeah. and Tyrese is almost like too bad an actor for this role. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think so because I think that you need a guy who's not a seasoned actor to play this kind of playing himself. Yeah. Like, I get what you're saying though, but like this, like I'm okay with T.I. playing Rashad in ATL.
I just remember thinking like with Tyrese and Jody, like, does anybody really talk like this? Like, you know, just the way he would be talking to Yvette. You know what I mean? Like, is this real dialogue? Like, or is this like,
you talking about the I hate you too? You know what I'm saying?
Just, yeah, like the I hate you. I hate you. That shit's real. Yeah. Like, I know that shit is real.
You, bitch ass nigga. Fuck you. I'm a bitch. I wasn't a bitch last time. I was fucking the pussy. Fuck. I've heard that in my apartment
okay.
complex.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. Like, cause some of that stuff, like, felt like, you know, yeah. Like, you know, I'm with you, but I fuck bitches every now and then.
Nah.
Yeah, that's just niggas really talk like that, huh?
Yeah. Okay. So, and for just like, she was like, the same way she was like, nah, he ain't gonna never leave his mama's house. He don't wanna live with me.
That shit's all up.
And to her, it's normal.
Yeah.
He just a mama's boy. That's just what it is. As opposed to this nigga's a mama's boy. Nigga, I'm not talking to this nigga. I'm not giving this nigga a baby.
Right.
Like, women to give a nigga a mama's boy, a nigga that still, she knew that he lived with his mama. And I'm gonna give him a baby?
Yeah. And she didn't have nothing else in her world but
him. Before Jody, she had Rodney. Snoop Dogg, who was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't have a baby by the nigga, but like,
right.
she's just like Jody's mama. I can't pick a good man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yvette can't pick a good man. Her mama couldn't pick a good man.
Yeah.
And Peanut can't pick a good man. And her mom is letting him come up in the house and chill.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So which means that she can't pick a good man either.
Yeah, she had a little attitude, but she kind of let it go, man.
She never said anything.
Right. She never said nothing like, because she probably already said it.
Yeah,
honestly,
and her mom still gonna bring him
her
around.
Her mom did her mom have like a Benz?
I don't think she had a Benz,
or maybe a Lexus or something.
Talking about Peanut's mom?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think
her mom she had... did pull up flag. She
did, and I thought she could just wash my
driveway.
Car. Yeah. So she's like a working mom, probably work as a manager at a bank or something like that.
God,
you know what I'm saying
the parallels.
Yeah, she probably that's probably the Dara Heights. And shit.
Yeah,
that's probably up there in Baldwin Hills or some shit like that.
Yeah, she like she won't fuck with a nigga like Ving Rhames. That ain't her.
No, she, so.
Well, she used to.
Her peanut daddy was like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just like when Jody went to the hair salon to ask if he can, promote his merch there.
Yeah.
His clothes. And the woman that worked there, she owned the spot. She was fighting with him. Like, she probably got paper. If you work, you own the salon, you making cheese.
Yep.
But she still at the young hood nigga like, oh, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
So like these chicks, these women, their downfall is these hood niggas.
They
man.
Love these.
They hood love
niggas.
Hood niggas be winning.
Yeah.
Until you have a baby by them and they dip off or they go to jail and when they come back they got a whole different program.
Or they are not consistent, right? Like you know, Jody was inconsistent.
Right.
Right? He was inconsistent as a father, as a boyfriend, as a son, you know, even as a homie. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he's just kind of like inconsistent.
He wasn't raised well. He was raised by a mother that was so quick to let them just, in her mind, at least he's not dead.
Right.
I promise you, a lot of these mothers be like, man, at least my son ain't gangbanging. He's not in these streets like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, but a lot of times, just like in LA, the gangbangers, the non-gangbangers wear the same shit.
They wear the same shit.
Pendletons, white tees.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Chucks. That's what I wore my whole life growing up. And I never gangbanged. You know what I'm saying?
You would swear that Sweet Pea was a gangster.
Yeah,
And he wasn't.
He wasn't. He just a nigga that probably went to Crenshaw with Jody.
Mm-hmm.
And probably he probably got some homies that gangbang. He carry a strap too. I know a lot of dudes who ain't never game banged in their life,
but
they got two guns, one in their car and one on them when they walk around.
Because they
got to, you know what I'm saying?
They know the city.
They know the city. You know what I'm saying? And so they don't want to get jacked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the neighborhood, the city makes you this way a lot of the time.
Right.
Especially if you grew up with no pops and you raised by just the hood, the homies around you. And same thing with the ladies. They don't know how to pick no good dude.
Yeah.
Their daddy wasn't there to say, yeah, baby, I don't like this young dude. Well, what's he do for a living? Is he going to school? What?
He's not right.
They're not getting these questions from their father. They're getting these questions from their mom that made the same mistake they made.
Yeah. So it's like the blind leading the blind.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
It's the blind leading the blind. So, and circle and soccer continues.
Right. Even let's talk about Melvin, who seems that he owns his own business. You know what I'm saying? He didn't been in the pen before. He's a gangbanger. He's a G, probably a triple OG.
Yeah.
And Jody aired him out. Say, hey, bro, I know your kids.
Mm-hmm.
They live on the other side of town, and they ain't seen you in years.
Yeah.
So now we see Melvin, who is the new love interest for his mama, who seems to be doing her right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He got his own little money. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He dressed nice when he go out. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't there for his kids.
Yeah.
He was inconsistent, probably. You know what I'm saying?
I've got issues with my baby mamas.
Yeah. So a lot of times you see dudes in the hood that's 50-something years old, that's great uncles, but terrible fathers.
Yeah. And Melvin is not a good, not that he's trying to be. I don't know what the fuck Melvin is actually trying to do for Jody. Whatever he's trying to do, he kind of fails. He mostly fails at it,
right?
Like, you know, his when he tries to relate with Jody, it comes out wrong, right? Like, you know, like the guns and butter, you know, conversation. Like, what exactly are you trying to tell him?
He don't know how to nurture.
He don't know how to nurture.
All he knows is how to solve hood problems. You shot somebody? Hey, give me that burner, bro. I'm gonna get rid of it for you.
Which was a ironically beautiful moment in the movie.
Yeah.
Right? Because, and sad at the same time, because, like, I know how to handle that.
I know. One thing I know how to do is handle that.
It's handle that with, I know how to handle that with care.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't like he wasn't handling Jody with care all the other times. But in that particular moment, it's almost like for the first time he had vulnerability in his heart for Jody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the first time, Jody realized that, like, this man can help you.
Right.
You know, like there, it's the first time we see that kind of connection.
Right.
And it is a really nice scene.
Mm-hmm.
I think it moves a little bit too quickly to them, like, now being best homies, like, soon thereafter. But I imagine some time has passed and, you know, they've started to... Things have started to melt a little bit.
The only reason why it didn't happen too fast is because he just basically made himself an accessory.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give me your strap.
Yeah.
I could tell you just killed somebody or shot somebody.
Right.
Here. Because if they're looking for the killer, they're going to look for whoever handled this gun, too. Where's the murder weapon? I'm the one that's in charge of getting rid of the murder weapon.
I liked how he made him clean it, too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how he took his first and cleaned it and then kind of, like, gave it halfway back. To be like, you clean it now, right?
I'm showing you. It was a way of, like you said, he's not good at teaching. He's not good at expressing himself, but I can teach you this.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, and that was their uncomfortable, weird way of bonding.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, here, man, you just did some shit, and I'm going to help you try to get over this situation.
Which is despite the fact that, like...
It's sad, but like...
But like Melvin's like, the only reason why I haven't fucked you up already is because I'm showing respect to your mom.
Mm-hmm.
He told that to Jody a couple of times.
Right.
When he did have to hem Jody up, it was to let him know, you know, being like, you know, gave him that.
Yeah.
And then he stole on Jody and was like,
but he kept pressing his button. He kept asking for it.
Hey, Jody kept asking for
my
it.
Nigga, but you, I don't know who you think this is, nigga, but I'll beat the fuck out you, bro.
Yeah.
Stop talking to me like this, bro.
Stop talking to
what
me
are you doing,
like this.
Nigga?
Talking to me to your boy. I hear you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't know who the fuck you dealing with, right? Like, you know, and that's why with Melvin's breakdown, like after he stole on Jody, like he was really like, man, you know, I'm a nigga Woman, you have three strikes. Like,
he ain't had to deal with
that. I'm trying to be good.
Exactly.
I can't stay here.
I've been doing this so long. Mm-hmm. I didn't put my work in and I didn't put my time in. Yeah. I didn't did my time and depending on all that. Mm-hmm. Niggas respect me out here on these streets, but I got this little ass nigga in his mama house talking crazy to me.
Talking crazy to me.
I've been stalling him out for the last however many months, however many weeks or whatever.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to have to slap this nigga up. Choke him out real
quick. I'm going to have to.
You done made me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't had to do this in a long time because niggas know me.
Mm-hmm.
So. And Jody just trying to push his buttons, you know what I'm saying? He's trying to get his mom, he's trying to like rile him up, get under his skin, mm-hmm. and so his he gets his ass whooped, and so he's like, mama, look, this nigga gonna do you mm-hmm. the same way.
Yeah.
He's trying to get him kicked out.
That's what he's been trying to do the whole time. Yeah. Like, he's been trying to, like, either get him kicked out or thinking that, like, Melvin was going to realize that, like, this is Jody's territory.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just trying to chase him off by any means necessary.
Yeah.
Even, like, taking the thing, like, the weed in the garden and like, playing that hand, overplaying that hand. Melvin walked in and said, I'm sorry.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all he's going to say is he's sorry.
And kissed her. You know, kissed the fuck out of her. And she was, her look on her face was like, well, I guess he's sorry. But it's interesting. You make such a good point earlier because even though we're supposed to be dealing with more mature adults, the same shit Jody been pulling on these girls in terms of like a kind word and a kiss works on the mom.
Mm-hmm.
And that situation.
History repeats itself. The same
thing. He comes in. He does apologize, lays a kiss on her, and she is more taken aback by the kiss than even the apology.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Digmatized. He also was knocking her down heavy, though.
He was knocking her down.
He was hopping around the room with the draws. You know what I'm saying?
He was knocking her down heavy, making her breakfast.
Yeah.
Melvin was sitting there tearing that ass off.
Yeah, bro.
He was helping in the garden. But putting it, he was in there fucking the shit out of Jody's mom.
Sealing the deal. Yeah, bro.
Yeah. Give it up for Melvin.
Melvin's doing this thing, man. Yeah. So and all the men that they showcased in this film were kind of very similar. Peanut was mm-hmm. staying with his girl and her mama.
Yep.
And buying stuff for the house, mm-hmm. but he was staying with them.
Yeah.
And y'all act like y'all won't be here, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Buy me the video games and all this shit, you know what I'm saying? So, like, these men, but they boys. They're like grown boys.
Are there any, aside from Melvin, if you put him in that category, are there any good men in this movie? Are there any men in this movie that have their shit together?
Let's see. Not really, because that's how it be. Unfortunately, there's a lot of good dudes in L.A., but this mm-hmm. particular story was John Singleton, in my opinion, was trying to show, give us a pull the covers up and show in this show. This is like a typical hood dude.
Yeah.
And this is his hood surroundings, and these are the men and the women in his life.
This is what his environment is like.
You know what I'm saying? Not every, because you could easily go to a movie, and it's called Baby Boy. Mm-hmm. Excuse my bad. Mm-hmm. And it's about a young dude that's trying to get to college.
Yeah.
So now he's going to L.A. City. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He graduated from high school barely, just because he wasn't focused, but he wasn't in the streets. He was just, you know, not focused in school. School was boring to him, but he knew he wanted to make something out of himself.
Right.
And so he's going to L.A. City. He meet a girl his freshman year there. They start dating. She got an ex-boyfriend that's a gangbanger. And then he just tries to maneuver around that situation, and he finally gets to college. Now he's going to Loyola Marymount. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that could have been the movie, too.
Yeah.
Because not every boy is in the streets.
Yeah, not everybody, like.
But it's very common. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like my pop, I was born probably very similar to like Jody's, you know, oldest child, like Jody's son. Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure my mom and dad got pregnant like a year or so after graduating Dorsey. I'm pretty sure that my dad wasn't all the way feeling my mom and could have been out like gallivanting like Jody, but it was important on my dad to be a dad. So he ends up going to LA Trade Tech and gets a certification to be a radiologist. right? Like, you know, and life goes on a totally different trajectory. But yeah, that same type of situation, right? Which is like, he decided to grow up and to, you know,
figure it out.
So those stories also exist.
Yeah.
This story focuses on the typical doesn't do it kind of person and just does it in a real way. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because, like, almost everybody in this world is immature, right? Like, you know, like Yvette's friends are immature.
Right.
Where they work is immature. So, like,
that's like
Patty
a
caddy and, bro, you know.
I used to work at the spot. I ain't gonna say the name of it, but like, I used to work at the spot where you see people go home and clock out. They walk into their cars in the parking lot. It's a gang of little cute chicks with body.
Mm-hmm.
Little hood dudes going to their car, walking some of the girls to their car. And, hey, what's up? So let's go get some happy hour. Let's go get some sake and get some sushi after work.
Yeah.
Or the whole, I've dated girls that I would pick up. You know what I'm saying? Well, my car down right now. But so if you want to kick it, you can come to my house. But I live about 8 minutes away or 10 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
So she don't gotta take the bus.
Yeah.
Uber wasn't cracking back then. Nope. This is back in the day. I pick them up from their little temp agency job. And it's all girls coming out of this little call center.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Same situation.
Yeah.
Who that? Who picking you up?
Yep.
That's just my friend. Your friend. I'm in my little Explorer.
Yeah.
On my little Eddie Bauer Explorer.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what's going on? Y'all doing cool? And she getting, don't be trying to fight with my coworkers. Stop playing.
Yeah.
I've been there.
That shit was real.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In torrents.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, picking
that
them up
call
from
center.
Yeah,
that call center is reflective.
Bro.
Like, there'd be chicks in the call center, and they make enough money at the call center to have them a little apartment.
Yeah, a little apartment,
and a little car.
Long Beach, Torrance,
yep.
Gardena.
Yeah, you know,
saying out the way, not really in the hood no more.
In one of those like unassuming apartment buildings, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, just. And there's 1,000 of them. Sometimes you wonder, I wonder who lives there.
Man.
That's who lives there.
Yeah.
So they make just enough money to pay that little rent, to get a little car note, and to have
a little Kia Sport.
Little Kia Sport, little Dodge Neon.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
And yes.
Yeah. And if you were smashing them right, they'd let you borrow that car
Come
all
on,
day.
Bro. Yeah. And you can get you a good-ass meal when you pull up.
Yeah. You get you a good-ass meal. They'll let you sleep in the house all day. I mean, they just want somebody around.
Little hood chicks, man. They don't want much.
They don't want much.
And these chicks ain't looking for red bottoms. They're not looking to go to Boa Steakhouse.
No.
You can take them to Chili's Fridays. And that's not even a diss.
Yeah.
Because I might take my wife to Fridays tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
they don't need much. That's
they don't
your
need much,
point.
Man.
Like when they was going to Lucy's. Right?
Yes.
Like that was a bit, and they was going to be, they was going to eat Lucy's. They was going to watch something on the movie, and then they was going to smash afterwards.
Yeah, that's all they
want.
And
then he was going to take the key
the
next day to either drop her off or just have her car.
Hey, it's a cool phone. You know, if I, I'm going to gas it up. Just can I borrow your car for a little bit?
Yeah.
Borrow my car? I got to go to work tomorrow. What if I take you to work?
Mm-hmm.
You going to pick me up too?
Yeah.
I'm going to pick you up too.
Of course I'll pick you up. Okay.
You put gas in my car. I got you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And now you, hey, man, who little Mustang you in?
Yeah. Whose Corolla you in?
I was a little situation I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, bro.
I
wasn't really in a driving car. I had my own shit.
I had my own shit.
It might have been a little bucket, but like, yeah, I've done that before too.
I had my own car. But I was notorious for spending like a day at a chick's crib.
Yeah.
Because especially like the call center chick, they had everything I didn't have.
Yeah.
They had groceries.
Mm-hmm.
They had water. That shit was clean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, and you could get real comfortable.
The pleather couches.
Yep. You could get real comfortable in their spot.
Yeah, and like, they had the headboards, big beds, the headboards.
Oh, shit. Okay. You know, they give you some ass.
Yeah, they don't give you some ass.
Yeah,
sure.
You know what I mean?
And so
what's funny is that, like, yeah, that life can be intoxicating.
Yeah.
Especially if you ain't got no shit popping yourself.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, and especially if you can get 3 or 4 on the team like
Come
that.
Come on, bro.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is what Jody's situation was.
Yeah.
You get 3 or 4 on the team like that. You spend a couple of days at her crib. You spend a couple of days at her crib. And you just basically kind of going from meal to meal, ass to ass. Now, the big difference is none of these women have my child. Right.
Yeah. The difference for me is I wasn't impregnating them.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Which is the shit that Jody was on. Yeah. Right. That had like two kids, and Jody wasn't a player. He was a liar. And it's almost kind of like how you commit accidental player, right?
Yeah.
Which is like Jody just got caught so many times that everybody pretty much knew the deal.
Yeah.
Peanut knew that was her car. Mm-hmm. Peanut knew that Jody didn't have no car.
Yeah.
So Peanut knows that that's Yvette's car, and she's okay with it.
He preys on women that don't expect much, that need daddies, that like, if anything, mm-hmm. they just want you to be around.
Yeah.
When you're around, just make me feel good. That's all they want. That's all they want. So when they see each other, she showed her the tattoo, like,
mm-hmm.
like that was something to brag about. We both got babies by him. Yeah, mm-hmm. So what? Matter of fact, I have his baby. My baby younger than yours. So, I mean, I was with him most recent. Right. Yeah, but I got his name on my body. Mm-hmm. That's how tight we are. To her, that's a badge of honor.
Yep.
That's goofy.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But she don't know no better. She mm-hmm. don't know no better. Remember she on the phone with her homegirl? And she's like, how you going to tell me to leave my man? Mm-hmm. He don't hit me. He might yell, but he don't put his hands on me. Mm-hmm. But you telling me I need to dump him.
Right.
But your dude, be beating you up.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Right. Right.
At least we live together. Yeah. He's not gonna ever live with me. He wouldn't live with his mama. That's the conversation these little mm-hmm. feeble-minded small chicks be thinking about. You know what I'm saying?
Because even the friend's girl is like very Jody-ish because he there all day.
Yeah.
Like in fact,
on
like,
the game, like
every on the game, every scene we see, we don't ever really see him sitting nowhere else in the house.
Just in the couch.
He's just right. That's his spot on the couch.
Watching Judge Judy,
uh-huh. smoking uh-huh. some weed. Smashing
and then getting up and sliding in.
Yep.
While she at the little bar area mm-hmm. of the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then going back and sitting back down.
And that's what O's character was frustrated because he wanted more.
But he didn't know how to get there.
But he didn't know how to get there.
A lot of dudes don't even know how to get there, bro.
That was his beef. His beef was like, I want to go someplace. I don't even feel comfortable being there all day no more. I leave at 9, I come back at 5 like I've been doing something. I'm tired of playing Madden all day. Like, I need something to do or I'm going to kill somebody.
Right.
Like, that was a great speech, man. Yeah, like, you know, and reflective of, like, another mentality. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like you said, some guys want to lay up under their woman all day, like Yvette's homegirl's boyfriend, and just want to control you. Mm-hmm. There's some that's like, man, I'd love to be able to go do something else, but I don't know what to do or where to go. And then there's the Jodies, right? Yeah. Like, you know, that are just playing it like a game. Mm-hmm. It's a very great, great movie, very, very real.
Yeah, man. The way he broke it down to the lady and the barber in the beauty salon,
mm-hmm.
So, boy, you have communication skills.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay attention and hone those skills and turn it into something. Go get your GED, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Go to night school. I would always see on the bus like 3, 4, 5 dudes, about 5, 6 chicks getting on the bus right there on Van Ness
mm-hmm.
and coming off as night school. My sister had to go there go there for a couple weeks or a couple months. I mean,
mm-hmm.
take class at a night school. And I'm like, man, it ain't too late.
Yeah.
You just gotta work. And now you gotta work more for yourself. Cause when you're in school, first grade to 12th grade,
mm-hmm.
the curriculum is already set there. You already know what class you're going to.
And there's people designed to get you across the finish line.
You just gotta keep going. You just gotta show up to school. Here, you gotta mm-hmm. enroll yourself.
Yep.
And a lot of things. Once you get out of college, once you get to a certain age, now you want to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
It's tougher, but it's
and
doable.
Jody is good with his hands. They established that
mm-hmm.
when he's you know fixing homie's bike, right? Mm-hmm. Like you know when he's putting together the model cars,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you know he has a passion
right.
for cars, mechanics, mm-hmm. etc.
Yeah.
But there's no, you know, maybe Melvin will give him that push.
He has an interest.
An interest.
And a passion for the cars. But now even when she was like, he got his own business, mm-hmm. What she say, landscaping business.
Yeah.
Maybe you can work for him, Jody.
Yeah.
Like, get you a job, bro. That's not stealing dresses to sell for a little bit more money.
Get yourself a job.
Come on, man.
Even when he has that conversation, when Jody has a conversation with Sweet Pea, and he asks Sweet Pea what he's interested in. right? Like it's like Jody, you get it, but you just ain't got it yet,
right?
Right, which makes me the one thing that I wonder, and I guess like you know, I guess it makes sense is. It seems like almost dying is what changes Jody. Did that feel realistic to you? That like that experience of getting shot at was enough for him to.
For some.
And the experience of getting revenge, right? Like, yeah. Like he gets shot at, that's one piece. They roll up on what's his name? Snoop.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you know, Sweet Pea murders. Did that trauma wake him up?
I think so, because here's the thing. For gangsters, gangbangers, they say, man, I ain't think I could even live this long.
Mm-hmm.
So they already understand when you join the gang, you get this sense of like understanding like this is probably going to be it for me. Let me ride this out as hard as I can and be the biggest and toughest until I'm gone. He's not he a hood dude, but he's not a street dude. So he don't even deal with the guns. He don't deal with he sell weed. He don't really do hardcore shit.
Right.
So when he finally saw himself getting into like shootouts and having the revenge murders and all that, he's like, oh, I don't dig this.
Yeah.
Some people, he's not built for that. You know what I'm saying? He's not built for that street hood shit. Mm-hmm. So in his mind, he was like, bro, I got to figure something else out because this scares me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not scared of he is scared to die,
yeah.
But he's afraid of what he might turn into.
He's not afraid of his neighborhood,
no,
right? But this is almost like his chickens coming home to roost,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you know, like Jody popped a lot of shit on that phone,
yeah,
right? Like you know, he talked a lot of shit, and that shit came back on him,
right?
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 So I think it was Melvin choking him out,
mm-hmm.
knocking him out, him, you know, getting shot at but not dying. I think it served to recalibrate him as to who he was in this ecosystem.
Yeah.
And how he needs to be pursuing right. happiness.
You got to tighten up, bro.
Yeah, you got to tighten up because you're not as big and bad as you think. You're not in control.
As you think you are.
As you think you are. And if you don't get it together, you ain't gonna have no one.
Not only yeah, because when he killed, he was a part of killing Snoop's character mm-hmm. Rodney. That traumatized him.
Oh yeah,
that ain't something he wanted to be a part of.
Right.
And I saw this is a lot of boys like that. A lot of young men in L.A. in every hood that end up taking someone's life, and then it bothering them. You know what yeah. I'm saying? They might not even know or even understand how to explain what's going on with them emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
They just know they don't like it. And it's making the tears come out their eyes.
Yeah.
It's making their heart race. I'm like, bro, like taking someone's life.
That's a major fucking thing.
Yeah, bro. And some people get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But they get used to it only because they feel like, well, shit, my time's going to come to anyhow. So right. while I'm here, I might as well fuck it up. You know what I'm saying?
Was Sweet Pea a killer? I mean, obviously we saw him commit murder.
I don't think it was the first time, bro.
Yeah. The version of the film that I saw last night, I remember, and this might be one of those like Nelson Mandela like effect type of thing, but didn't Sweet Pea like beat up the guy and take his camera? Remember when they were on the block, you know what I mean, and they were all selling stuff and he tried to sell the dress and the way we said something, and then the next time we see him, he says, I gotta get saved. And then Jody goes, what did you do? Right? Mm-hmm. Like I remember him taking that camera from that guy.
Yeah.
But the version that I saw last night didn't have it.
Yeah. That's crazy. You might be right.
Do you remember that?
that was the movie version, maybe?
Maybe yeah. I remember
I'm about to look for that. I remember
him being upset at the lady and the lady pointing out the guy in the camera and him stealing on the guy and taking his camera.
Right.
That's what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't in the version of the film that I saw last night. So maybe it's that Mandela effect type shit where right. it doesn't really exist.
Yeah, maybe so. I'm now.
But it's it feels familiar, right?
It does. It sounds like yeah. yeah.
Maybe it's another movie.
So Peanut is that's not his first murder.
Yeah.
But he might not even be an active gang member,
mm-hmm.
but he's a hood dude. So a lot of times.
Put in work.
Yeah, put in work in the sense of there's dudes who get killed over like a bad dice game. Somebody getting swindled, or the homie jacking his sister's car, or somebody jacking his sister's car, he going to retaliate. You know what I'm saying? So there's guys who have done that several, you know, and I think he's one of those guys. I think Jody, he's the toughest out of the two.
Cause Sweet Pea was asking him, like when they was talking out loud, when Melvin was there, Sweet Pea was like, You want me to handle him for you? Like Sweet Pea was always about that life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like
he was an old dog.
Yeah. Before we get into awards, I want to talk about Taraji.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she did an excellent job in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how different Taraji is in her real life from you know, Yvette. But
DC, man.
But Taraji captured that.
She reminded me of a chick from LA. She's from the East Coast. But she reminded me of a girl that we went to school with.
Just so, like, vulnerable and angry and hurt and hopeful, right? All of those emotions. That's who Yvette was. And so, and I think Taraji just exhibited it so well. When she was mad, you could tell she was mad. When she was happy, you could tell she was happy with whatever little bit of attention that she was getting.
She was very easy to deal with.
Very easy to deal
with.
He was just fucking up.
Yeah. And because he knew he could.
Yeah.
He knew he could.
You know?
He knew that she wasn't going nowhere. She could take him. She was going to take him back. Because even after all the shit they done went through, remember when she tried to come back?
Yeah.
And he was playing dominoes in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
And she was trying to get his attention.
Yeah.
And then she chasing him. She chasing him.
But at this point, she ain't got nobody.
Right.
And she's trying to get out the house.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, you know, like Jody solves all problems, like, through sex.
Yeah.
Like, whenever she's upset with him, he smashes her. Even after he accidentally hits her, what's his go-to?
I'm sorry. Let me slide in.
Let me slide in, right?
So, like, I'm sorry with some sex.
Yeah. And so I felt that was very authentic because there's a lot of men who
they don't have nothing else
to offer besides that, right?
Some niggas like, you know that saying, all I have is my balls and my word.
Mm-hmm.
Some next time niggas, all they have is their balls. Nigga, that's it.
Yeah.
And their words don't mean shit no more.
And it wasn't until chicks started basically saying, like, this is all you are, right? Like homegirl at the call center, you know what I mean? Like she was just like, I'm just trying to smash.
I just want to send that.
Yeah. Right? Like, you know, and then even Peanut was like, I'll call you when I want some.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So now.
The chick from the call center was a savage.
Man.
She was so mean.
Yeah.
And she was like, but that's, man, that's, bruh.
That's, she felt authentic.
The chick, a chick be at the club
mm-hmm.
and you trying to get at her and she roll her eyes at you.
Yeah.
And walk away from you, and you be there for two more hours chilling, trying to get the other girls. At the end of the night, she walk by and put her number in your pocket and walk off.
Yep.
And roll her eyes again. Bruh, it's weird how
story.
And so I would love to see what's her background.
Yeah.
Why is she the way she is?
Yeah.
Who hurt her? Was it her daddy? Mm-hmm. Was it her ex-boyfriends? Was it her baby daddy? Are all of the above? Like, that chick had problems too.
There's a phrase that we hear women use all the time. And we hear it so much that I think we forget about the power and word of it. Like when women say niggas ain't shit, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes they say it and it is just saying it. But when a woman really believes that,
right,
they really not dealing with dudes like more than what they need to.
Right.
And so it's just like, listen, just
give me this.
Just give me this.
Because you're not going to be able to give me everything. So
and get out.
I don't need this from you.
Yeah.
I shot a sketch last night.
Yeah.
Where a girl, a woman was about to go on a date with a guy that she really liked. So she was making him wait for like 3-4 dates. She never gave him no buns. They was just going out. And then on the fifth date, she was going to give him some. But in her mind, he stood her up. Like he was tired of waiting for the buns.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't want to go on no more dates, spend no more money. So he just ignored her. He was supposed to go on a date with her. But he never responded to her text. So instead she's mad, she's frustrated, she's been held up, she's got this nice ass dress on, skirt and top, and she's about to take it off and stay home and call up her little late night creep dude. The nigga don't got nothing but a PlayStation 5 in his backpack. You know what I'm saying? That guy, yeah. She lets him come over and beat her down.
Yeah.
Because, girl, she was trying to give it to this new dude that she thought she could pursue and be pursued
That's
by.
That's great.
And because he stood her up, because she held out, all right, I'll just give it to the familiar guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
See?
And so, but the guy showed up anyhow because he texted her, but the text didn't go through.
Yeah.
And so now he's like, damn. See, she pulled up to the house with both guys there.
Yeah. I want you to keep playing in that territory. Yeah. I think that's such interesting that's and familiar it. That's stuff. That's
a real thing, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we got to get to some awards.
Yes, indeed.
We got to burn through some awards and some fists. MVP. Who's the MVP of Baby Boy?
MVP of Baby Boy. Damn. I want to say Jody, but it ain't Jody, I don't think. I think too many people took care of Jody in the movie for him to be the MVP. I think it's either, I honestly think it's Melvin.
Melvin is my favorite character in the movie.
Yeah.
He's my favorite character in the movie. I either want to give it to Jody because he has, and I hate Jody as a character, but he has to exist in order for the movie to work.
Has to exist for sure.
Right? And so, but I don't feel like, even at the end of the movie, I don't feel like Jody's learned his lesson. I don't, you know, I feel like Jody could easily still be in some stuff. Like two weeks later, Jody got kicked out again.
Right.
So I think to that end, I think it's Melvin. I think Melvin is an example of just basically the best man in the movie. And he's not a great man.
No, he's not.
But, like, he's a man who's consistent. He's a man that's present, that shows up.
Mm-hmm.
A man that's interested in what his woman is interested in,
i.e.
the garden, right? Like, he's out there with that. Tried to be a good influence, you know, for Jody. So, yeah, he's the best guy.
He was giving her a good pipe. Mm-hmm. He was helping her with a garden.
Taking her out.
Buying her a big screen.
Mm-hmm. Bought her a big screen.
Taking her out.
Yep.
Yeah, so fixing their breakfast, you know what I mean? So trying to find a way to relate with her son.
Yeah.
He made it hard for him.
Yeah.
And he eventually had to put him down. But, like, yeah, Melvin and he helped. Not only did Peanut help Jody get rid of Rodney, so did Melvin with the gun.
Yeah. And there's a lot of Melvins out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of good dudes, just like I don't even want to like bring up their past, even though their past very much is a big part of who they are,
right?
But there's a lot of guys out there that it's just like, yeah, like Uncle such and such and Uncle such and such, yeah, man, like he's, you know, he worked for the county now, or he might drive a transit bus right now,
right.
But they consistent,
yeah.
And they dependable.
A lot of these dudes have ruined their first 25, 30 years of their life. So they're like, now they're 45.
Yes.
And now they're like, man, let me try to get this woman in my life. Let me try to bond with the kids. And then let me go deal with my son. And he's 26, but let me try to salvage a relationship with this dude.
Especially the ones that didn't lose that 20 to drugs.
Yeah.
Those that lost it to crime and banging.
Mm-hmm.
When they get put out, as much as we hear about people going back in, there's people that do a long enough bid and find a way out after that bid.
Right.
Have an appreciation.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? Have an appreciation.
I know a couple. I know dudes that did 20.
But I also think, much like Melvin, they have difficulty communicating the lessons that they're trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Right? But Melvin's the MVP. Easy.
Melvin, for sure.
LVP. Who's the LVP?
Oh. LVP? Peanut. No, the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut. Because if he didn't have another baby mama, this movie could still be the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can replace those scenes with him going to go see her and dealing with her, with him doing some shit with his homeboy.
Yeah. Okay, I'm torn between two. One is Peanut's mama.
Yeah.
Right. Like, she don't even need to exist in this movie.
Right.
Like, Pina
could have lived by herself.
Pina could have lived by herself. But
we needed to see that this girl is two different types of baby mamas.
Mm-hmm.
It's baby mamas that are single mothers that's trying to do good, that's doing decent for themselves, mm-hmm. got a little job, got their own place, their own car.
Yeah.
And you got a girl that's raising another little girl.
Yeah.
Because
she's
still living with a mama.
Right.
So I think moms just needed to be
to
there.
That contest. But the fact that she was just so accepting of everything. Let this fool come.
Angel Conwell's character, her mama was letting this nigga, big grown ass nigga, be up in the house with no job.
True. I mean, it was a lot of that.
That's happens, yeah. But yeah, I get what you're saying, though.
The other LVPs have to be Snoop's crews, like Snoop's shooters. Like,
they missed.
They missed. They missed.
He didn't badly. Hide behind nothing. Yes. He wasn't behind no tree. He was on the lawn. They open. Did.
They caught him off guard. They had the upper hand. They never grazed the man.
And that ultimately got Rodney killed later.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even kill this dude.
You didn't even pinch the motherfucker, right? like point blank. And then they drove back around and missed again.
Yeah,
right. Crazy, like, man. So yeah. So they got to be the LVP. Mm-hmm. Over acting award.
Not overacting, but the girl, baby girl, the nemesis at Yvette's job.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was sexy.
She was sexy.
And she couldn't act. Right. But I know her.
Yeah.
Not her, not the actual world woman.
But who that person is.
I just want something. You know what I'm saying? Like, she don't gotta know. Like, she just, this a grimy ass chick that's out for hers.
Yeah.
Like, she don't like Yvette anyhow. Yvette's not cuter. Yvette's cuter than her.
Mm-hmm.
She's sexy. Yvette's cuter than her. Clean cut hood.
Mm-hmm.
Hood clean cut. Yvette's like a That chick is like a rat.
Yeah, hood that rat. Chick was a rat.
That chick is she'll set you up for the okie doke. She got a couple of goon niggas that are set to do that. But Yvette's just a hood chick that don't know no better.
You run into Yvette at 30.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into a lot of Yvettes.
Yeah.
By the time they were turning 30, mm-hmm. and by this time. Them girls had their money together.
That's crazy that you say that.
Had they clothes together, had they house together,
mm-hmm.
had everything is just how you feel about dating a chick with kids.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind dating a chick with kids.
That nigga, all the homies know, I was like, this nigga always got a girl that he dealing with that got children.
That got some kids.
Or at least one kid.
Because by the time you run into Yvette at 30, like, she's done with the bullshit. She's tough enough to, she's not no pushover.
Mm-mm.
So she's not going to let you treat her any kind of way.
Right.
But she's now softened a little bit
mm-hmm.
from as hard as she had to be from them tough years with the kids.
I dated Yvette, bro.
Yeah, man. I've dated a couple of Yvettes.
Hey, man. She probably watched it. I wanted to see watch my show.
Mm-hmm.
I got love for her. Always will, man. But yeah. She was she had her own house, her own little apartment, her own car. Crib,
nice as shit.
And she was... I met her, she was 30.
Mm-hmm.
I was 21.
Yeah.
And she was 30, and she had a couple kids already by, like, this raggedy-ass dingus.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just sweet. She was cool. And it took me a minute for me to really get with her, but I finally got with her. We was dating for some time.
Yeah.
And she cooked some breakfast.
Yeah.
She cooked. And the mattress game was crazy. She didn't really want much.
She didn't want much.
Just to be treated respectfully. And I gave her that. I made her laugh. Mm-hmm. I was cool. We can go out and about. Mm-hmm. I didn't have no money, but she had more money than me. But she had
money.
She worked for one of them little tape. Like she did coding.
Listen.
So she worked in those type of those big buildings with all women and stuff like that.
Yvette at 30 had enough money to put some in your pocket and didn't feel no kind of way about it.
Yeah.
Like she could put a little something, mm-hmm. You know, she could help you out. Like, if it just happened to come in a conversation,
mm-hmm.
Yvette at 30 buys you a new outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yvette at 30, you know what I mean? Like, buys you some new gear.
I can't afford no Jordans, but she buys me some Jordans.
But she'll buy, like, Yvette at 30 will buy you
it's
some
okay.
Jordans.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, you know, da 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 da.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
so if the game doesn't chew them up,
right?
They come out, like, cold pressured into diamonds, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what we had to hope for. But like you said, the rat doesn't become that.
Nah.
She stays a rat.
Yeah.
She stays, you know, trifling mm-hmm. and stays da 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 da.
Her solidness don't come until she like damn near 50.
If it comes at all.
If it come at all, yeah.
If it comes at all.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go to the fist.
Let's go to the fist, man.
Let's go to the fist. How many fists do you give Baby Boy?
Baby Boy. Baby Boy, man. Ooh. I love Baby Boy, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I give Baby Boy a strong 4.
Yeah,
4.5. Ooh, if that,
high,
if that
mid 4.
Yes. Oh, so 4. Because I understand the story that's being told.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was told very well.
Yep.
I can relate to it. I was entertained.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I get how some people are traumatized by it. But I just think it was, I thought it was performed well. I don't need Denzel to play any of these characters.
Yep.
I think the characters that they played were solid dudes, solid people playing it, solid women. And it's just a hood tale. It's a hood tale. And, yep. And I think it's up there.
Here's why it's a 4 for mm-hmm. me. Because everybody is fucking believable.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is believable. The set dressing, wardrobe, location,
mm-hmm.
everything is real.
Yeah.
Everything feels real. Everything feels mm-hmm. authentic. Where it's clumsy, but everything that Singleton sought out to achieve with this film, I think he achieved it. The only thing knock that I'll give it is that Tyrese in the uterus is always cheesy to me.
Yeah.
It's always unnecessary. Too artistic. Yeah, that part is always unnecessary. I don't like the flashback montages, even though I know what they were trying to achieve. But other than that, like, this is an above average film, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's above average film. It's not a 3.
Nah.
It's not a 3. It's a 4.
It's a 4.
It's worth the watch.
One more thing that threw me off was the scene in the park where they went to go beat up the little kids again.
Yes.
I said, all right, come on. Just go over to go. We'll pull up and beat them up.
Yes.
The whole line them up yeah. and
that's teach them how to soccer.
I'm like, nah.
That's like,
he's not that much of a buster.
Yeah. Ain't nobody, mm-hmm. never in all my times in Los Angeles did I believe that 5 teenage black boys would stand in line waiting to get punched.
Right.
That wouldn't right. happen.
Not little gangster niggas.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. They would have ran. Nah. And ain't nobody gonna get whooped. So that part was a little over top.
It brought me down. Like, okay, yeah. It took me out of reality a little bit. But other than that, Baby Boy was solid.
Baby Boy was a 4.
Yes, yeah. Indeed, man.
Yeah.
That was fun. Love Baby Boy, man. Mm-hmm. That was it, man. Baby Boy, let us know how you feel about it. What do you rate the film? 3, 4, or 5? Yeah, man. I'm your host, Big Ja, mm-hmm. along with my co-host,
54th and Tone.
54th and Tone.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the block.
That's on the block, right?
Yeah, man. Hey, if you ever go to 54th and Tone, just understand, beware where you
keep
at.
Your head on a swivel.
On a swivel.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolute, man. That's another episode of Blackbusters. Catch us next time. Be good or be good at it, man. To the max. Pew.
Blackbusters.
Shop Amazon for last minute gifts. Great deals for everyone on your list. Gifts for mom and gifts for dad. Even for your sister and your brother, Chad. Ah, shoot, we didn't realize we were supposed to get a gift for our dog walker guy. We almost forgot about our dentist, Dr. Kerr. We didn't expect to get a gift from her. Or our cousin, I forget his name. He got us something nice, better reciprocate. For last minute deals on gifts for people you forgot. Get fast and free shipping at Amazon.